Just ask you again for the next few moments today, bless your people, the word of the living God today. May it be true. May it be alive to each and every one that hears. May we know that our story has been rewritten today because of your grace, in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Amen. If you have your Bible and you'd like to follow this morning, I'm going to be reading Matthew's from Matthew chapter 2 this morning, where he shares a story. I'm just a little emotional all of a sudden here. I'm thinking about how God is working in somebody, and I think about how he's worked in me and how he let me stay married to my girlfriend for 36 years. I'm going to tell you, if you don't believe in miracles, believe in them. Because that's a miracle. Amen. Okay, I got to get it together. Hang on now, I got to... There we are. Okay, praise the Lord, everyone. It's good to see you today. I want to remind you, Christmas Eve service is always a highlight. Thank those I heard last Thursday night. They did just a powerful, powerful job in our absence. This Thursday night, we're going to do something, some fun things as well. I want to encourage you to be here. I know the weather was a little iffy this last week, but it's going to get better. I heard this week it's going to get into the 40s at the end of the week. Come on, somebody, it's our kind of winter. You know, I hear about global warming. Do you know that it snowed in Jerusalem the most that they've got there in over 50 years? And it also snowed in Cairo, Egypt. And I think I heard that was maybe even a first time. They've got a little bit before, but it was a record there. So, you know, I don't mean to upset any of the environmentalists, but I thank God for a little global warming every once in a while. Every year, we can get caught up in the Christmas season. We get the right gifts, got to make sure the house is decorated, got to have the right Christmas sweater. And I think it's safe to say that during this season that we're in, that we either love it or we may tolerate it, but sometimes we end up losing sight of why we celebrate it. And we can learn a lot from the Christmas story because each piece has a part to what God is not only doing at that time, but it's reflective of what he does now and what he wants to do. We learned a couple weeks ago about Elizabeth and that God brings life into barren places. We learned last week about Mary and Joseph, that God chooses to use us even though we don't even deserve it. And I don't know about you, but any time that God has ever used me in a great way or chose me for something, I never felt like I deserved it. And I always have questioned him, Lord, are you sure you know what you're doing? And then today I want to just share with you that we need to pursue him. That I want to talk about the pursuit of the King, how important it is in our relationship with the Lord at all times. Because sometimes we have this, we get going in life and especially during this season, we can get so caught up in all the stuff that we forget about what he has called us to. And if we're going to pursue, it means to chase after, not just stroll, but to chase after something or someone and to follow it intensely. And so what does it mean to pursue God? And many times we pursue things, especially in this season. And I'm not anti-gift giving. I love gifts. I love them. I love to give gifts. If you're around me, I'm going to bless you. I'm a giver. I love to give. We were in, last week I was in another Starbucks, praise the Lord, in Celebration, Florida. And we went in there, Ryan and I, we walked in and there's these two young boys. The place was mob full, packed. These two young kids were in front of me, and one kid was ordering this very simple drink, and he's counting out pennies. And I looked at the lady, and I said, I'm going to buy their drink. And he had a friend with him, and they both looked at me, and they said, you don't have to do that. I said, I know I don't have to, but I want to. I want to bless you. And the other little boy, I said, what are you getting? He goes, well, I don't want nothing. I go, come on, you got to get something. And you know what? I got so blessed by blessing them. The lady behind the counter, she just looked at me and she says, I can't believe out of everybody, nobody does that. And you did it. And you know what? Because you bought for them, you can't pay for any drink that you're getting now. Do you know that when you are a blessing and when you pursue God and when you pursue to be a giver, that God always will give back to you? Do you know that? And we live in this time where sociologists call this competitive consumption. I read that this week. It forces average people and families to work harder, spend less time with the ones that they love, and live more miserably enslaved to a debt in an ongoing effort to prop up some false sense of identity and personal value. And I want to encourage you, don't get caught into that. You are who God has called you to be. Your identity does not lie in the things that you own or the things that you buy, but it lies in the person of Christ inside of you. That saying that doesn't mean I want to encourage you, be a giver, be a blesser, but don't put yourself in places of bondage where you feel like you have to do something for somebody or they're not going to like you. Let me tell you something. If the only reason you give is to be liked, you're giving for the wrong reason. Give because God puts it on your heart to give. I saw or heard this sign this week in an office supply store. It said, for the man who has everything, a calendar to remind him when his payments are due. I like that. I thought that was funny. But what if we focused on pursuing God? What would our lives be? How could they be different? And in Matthew chapter 2, Matthew's rendition of the gospel here tells the story of the wise men, or what is more known, maybe the Magi. And in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1 through 12, we read that Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. We remember I talked about Herod a couple weeks ago. He was an evil man. He even put some of his own family members to death. About that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw a star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. And King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of the religious law and asked, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? In Bethlehem, in Judea, they said, for this is what the prophet had wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you, and you will be the shepherd for my people Israel. And Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, go to Bethlehem, search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too, which he had no intention of doing. In fact, he was not only disturbed by hearing about this child, this Messiah being born, these Magi disturbed him much because of how they would come. These Magi who are from the East, there's a ton of history behind them, but when they come, there wasn't just three. Some historians, there's not a lot written about it, have indicated that they may have brought a whole group of them. There might have been 100 of them, 50 of them. They're not sure of the number, but they would never travel alone. And when they would travel, they wouldn't ride on donkeys, but they would ride on purebred Persian horses. And they would come in all this regalia and have all this dress. And they were, by nature, large, tall, and statured men. And when they walked in before Herod, just themselves would intimidate him. And the Bible goes on to say in verse 10, and when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chest, and they gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route. For God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod.
God had been silent for over 400 years. We knew because we'd been listening, in a sense. You know, people who talk a lot, you don't call them wise, do you? No. We have a lot of other names for them. And wise is not one of them. In my position, I look for signs everywhere. And we'd watch the stars. We'd watch them and we'd try to interpret what they're saying. I read of a star that would announce a new king. And then, out of nowhere, a star appeared. Well, the star was different. It was a beacon in the night. After watching it for a while, I felt this was the star the Jews had been looking for, the one foretold in their ancient scriptures, the star of the Messiah. So, I followed it. There were a few of us, and yes, we actually followed a star. It was so bizarre. This star led us. It moved, and we followed. And eventually, it brought us to Jerusalem. That's where we met Herod. Now, he claimed he wanted to worship the Messiah. So he asked us. No, he demanded that when we find the newborn, we come back and tell him. But we were warned in a dream not to trust this man. So, for over 2 years, we journeyed with the star guiding us all the way to Judah. And then it stopped, shining down over a small cottage. Our journey ended not at a palace fit for a king, but at the home of a peasant. Our journey ended not at a palace, but at a small cottage. This was it. So we gathered our thoughts, our gifts, and we did what we could to contain our emotions. And through those doors, we found a new king. A king who commanded the stars in the sky and yet came down to live among his people. God was finished being silent. He spoke, and his word became flesh and dwelt with his people. We knelt down that night. Yes, we knelt before the baby boy. Each of us laid gifts at his feet. We had to. 400 years of silence, broken by the cries of the new king. Yes, he spoke, and we worshiped.
I just love that. I don't know about you. That speaks the story so powerfully. And what did, or should I say, what do wise men do? Well, they pursue him. They chase after him. And you may be here this morning thinking that you have found him, or that you don't really need anything more in your life. But can I encourage you today that wise men still seek him? The Magi, or the wise men, came from the east. And you could look at this and you could say, wise men? Why would wise men want to seek him? Scholars whose knowledge of astrological science and prophecy helped them figure this unusually bright star, and they saw it shining over Bethlehem, and it pointed the way to the Messiah, the one they believed that was destined to save the world. And do you know that even today, that God is calling us to pursue him? That we should be pursuing, and especially in this season? The Bible says in Isaiah 55:6, to seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him when he is near. And any wise man or woman has known that when they seek him, they will find him. Wise men, they're strong and they don't give up pursuing him, even if it takes longer than they thought. You may be here today, you may be discouraged. The wise men, I don't know if they ever went through any discouragement. You know, some historians say that they worked at finding him and traveling for nearly 2 years, coming from the east, going all the way to Bethlehem. But they continued to look for him until they found him. I want to encourage someone today. Don't let discouragement keep you from him. And the enemy would try to use your situation and discouragement in your life. He would tell you, what's the use? Give up. It's not working. But if you look for him, you will find him. If you'll seek him, you will find him. Wise men, when they do, they become full of joy. They become joyous. Because the Bible says in Matthew 2:10 that it says, when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. Why? Because the Bible says in Psalm 16:11, you'll show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Nobody ever comes to God's presence and leaves sad. He will lift you up. And if you're sad, and if you come to him, he will bring you joy unspeakable and full of glory. And regardless of what you're facing or what you're going through or what you've been through, when you pursue him, he'll fill your heart with great joy. Wise men, I love this part of the story. They bow down and they worship him alone. We get caught up in all kinds of other worship during this season. We get caught up in all the, and I'm not speaking negatively against it. I love it all. I love the parties. I love going out and seeing the lights and all the things. But they came, and when the Bible says in verse 11, when they came into the house and they saw the child with his mother Mary, they bowed down and they worshiped him alone. No one else deserved their attention. No one else deserved their worship, but they worshiped that baby, Jesus, alone. I want to encourage you not to get carried away with all the stuff that goes on in this season, but take time to worship him and worship him alone. Because wise men, when you do, when you pursue him, you find him. And lastly, wise men, they give him their treasure. I love verse 11. It says, and then they opened their treasure chest. And they gave him gifts of gold. They gave him gifts of frankincense and myrrh. And this is the season where the world has extracted the concept of giving gifts to one another. And it's great. But in all your giving, we must not forget that we need to give to him what is due him. And these gifts that the Magi presented to Jesus were very symbolic. The gold represents Jesus' role as the ultimate king. The frankincense represents our worship to God. And the myrrh represents the sacrificial death that Jesus would die. Did you know that he was born to die? For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the evil one. How did he do that? That he gave his life at Calvary. He shed every drop of his blood. He died. He gave up his spirit. No one took it from him. He gave it up. And the Bible says that when he was buried, that on the third day, he rose again. He took captivity captive. He triumphed over death, hell, and the grave. And because he triumphed over it, you and I can also triumph over it. And I want to ask you today, have you given your life to him? Is he your number one king? Is he your ultimate? Or is there something else before you today? Have you given him all of your worship? Or do you worship something or someone else? Is something else get your attention other than him? Is he first? And do you recognize the death that he died for you and honor him because of that? In contrast, with this story about the wise men. I think it's so interesting how God just, He writes this story, and He writes in not only the wise men, these magi with this background coming to Him and seeking to Him. The Bible says that God also sends an angel to a bunch of shepherds on a hillside. The shepherds, they weren't like the magi. You know, the magi come from this higher echelon of society, but the shepherds, they're, for the most part, they're illiterate. They have a bad reputation. They're looked down upon because of their scandalous background. Their work is mostly in the nighttime, and they perform things that are, a lot of times, they're illegal. They'll be stealing sheep from other herders' places in the dark when nobody else knows what's going on. Here, they're not only stunned, the Bible says that they were afraid and they were shocked by this light that visited them in this dark time in their life and at nighttime. But beyond that, they were stunned most of all because God would choose to come to them. I don't know who I'm talking to today. Maybe you're here and you come in and you feel, I'm not worthy enough. You know, I see people, they say all the time, if I went to church, the walls would cave in. No. The Bible says that in that time, Jesus came to them like He does to every one of us. Whether you deserve it or not, whether you're good enough or not, whether you think you fit in the society that is worthy or not, Jesus loves you and He says so in His Word. He not only came to the Magi, but He comes to the shepherds. And the shepherds symbolize that God was not only coming to the people who were recognized greatly for the things that they do in society, but He was also coming for those that didn't even fit in.
Well, it started out just like any normal night until that angel showed up. Man, I ain't never seen anything like that before. You know, us shepherds, we don't get a whole lot of excitement out here in these fields every night. But that angel, he just flew on right up to us. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Sammy, you done spend too much time out in them pastures. I know. I had that same exact thought until he started talking to me. He said, do not be afraid. I shouted right back, too late, brother. And then he said, what was that he said? He said, I have good news of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a child who is Christ the Lord. Then he said, you know what? He's laying in a manger. Go on and find him. Okie dokie, artichokey. One of my friends, he leaned over to me. He said, what are we just standing around here for? Let's head on down to Bethlehem. So we hightailed it on out of there, and we found that beautiful baby boy just lying in the manger. I'm a different man after that night, because God chose me. And in my life, no one had ever chose. I'll never forget what that angel said. Good news for all people. And that meant me too.
I just love that. Don't you love that? I didn't know that the shepherds had a little country western twang. Come on, let's give the Lord thanks for that today. The Bible says, Luke says in Luke 2, 10 and 11, the angel said to him, don't be afraid. Oh, I want to insert that into your heart today. Don't be afraid. Come on, don't be afraid. He said, I bring good news. I've got good news to tell you today. He says, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people today in the town of David. A Savior has been born. He's the Messiah. He's the Lord. He's your and my deliverer today. Don't be afraid. My brothers and my sisters, right here, right now, don't be afraid. The enemy would try to captivate you and take your heart over in this time, in this season. But I want to encourage you, don't be afraid. When God reveals himself to you, you and I are never the same. We're a changed person. James 4:8 says, if you draw near to me, God said, I'll draw near to you. Wise men, they pursued Jesus. The shepherds, they pursued Jesus. And your lesson and mine today, we are to pursue Jesus. Because when we do, things in our lives begin to change. We see him like we never saw him before. We recognize that this Jesus can work more in our lives and take care of more things than we ever thought he could. That he's bigger than we ever realized he really was. Come on, aren't you happy? Aren't you glad for that today? Aren't you thankful to the Lord for that today? Come on, give the Lord a great praise in his house today. I want my brothers and my sisters to come down that pray. I want to ask you today just a couple things. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, you need to pursue him today. You need to give your life to him. There's nothing that I love to see more. Listen, I live for this. Last week, I saw somebody up here giving their heart to Christ. There's nothing that could be greater than for you to make that commitment before you leave here today. Just to come in, and you might not know anything about it, but you know maybe tonight or today that your life is, it's just disconnected. And you know you need more than where you're at. You need Christ in your life. He can help you, and he wants to do that. I'm not talking about joining a church or being religious or anything like that. Believe me, I'm not religious. I'm talking about having this relationship with Jesus that'll help you and change your life. He'll change your future. He'll change your destiny. Dear God, I look over the years of my life, how God, where God has brought me, and how I didn't have anything to do with that, but it was the grace of God. Maybe you're here today and you're just hurting and you're broken. These people want to help you today. They're going to pray and agree with you. The Bible says if two agree on touching something, it shall be done. Maybe your time, maybe your season, maybe you haven't seen what you hope to see. But I want you to know he's here to encourage you, to bless your life, and to strengthen you in a powerful way. Amen. Boys are going to come up here and just greet you today. And then they're going to ask you to come down and they're going to pray with you and pray together and believe God with you.
Well, God bless you today. We just wanted to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a great week this week. And we'll see you next week. Don't forget about our services the next couple weeks. But if we could all pray together, if you bow your heads today. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the words that were shared this morning. But Lord, we hope that it changes our hearts and that we can take it with us and use it in our normal lives every day this week. I pray for every family that's represented here, the people that have a hard time this year, Lord. Give them peace beyond all understanding. But Lord, I pray that you'll also bless them in everything that they say and do. I pray for families and broken hearts this year. I pray for children and mothers and fathers. Lord, that you'll mend relationships. And Lord, we thank you for all these things and all the wonderful things you've done today. In your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. We want to pray with you. If you need prayer for anything, come forward. And I know that one person that's here today, if you're here and you need prayer, we want to pray with you before you leave. God bless you all and have a wonderful, wonderful week.